This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Sean is not only does he hate Mother's Day, but he is an ageist. I've been under attack during this commercial break. I've been under attack, John Belmer.
We were talking, John, you settled this. Was I out of line?
Don't say it. I'm just looking over at Cam thinking he's going to make another joke.
I'll be honest. I didn't hear it, but you were probably out of line because
see?
You know, that's just kind of how it goes.
That is fair. Okay, so last year the Arlington Renegades won the XFL, the then XFL championship. This year in the UFL, they are 0-6. They're about to win their first game, though. I said that, and we're talking about how hard that is to go from champion to how bad they are. I said it was like the 2019 Washington Nationals, and then he was like, it's more like the 1997 Marlins. And I was like, of course you would say the 1997 Marlins.
In 2003.
Okay, cool.
You were alive for one of them. Were you alive for both?
I was alive for both.
Okay, you were alive for both. All right.
I was pooping my pants for the first one.
Maybe the second one, too. I don't know. I don't know how you grew up.
I was pooping my pants for the Washington Nationals World Series, too, actually.
Well, that was just...
Unrelated.
That was because some of the people hitting home runs off the foul pole. Thank you, Howie Kendrick. Oh, man. I don't know how we transitioned, but good game going on in the UFL between Memphis and... I don't know. I'm trying to sell it. Man, we're at ESPN station here, Sean. Don't talk down to...
You're right. Talking down to him.
I'm just trying to get through this show.
To think that this game is good.
I'm trying to carry the company water over here. You're down talking Mother's Day, calling me old, kicking the company programming while it's down. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. All right, let's move on. Houston Texans, big signing, big trade, whatever. They bring in wide receiver Ben Skowronek. Does this matter?
Sure. Yeah. He has to get a new apartment, I assume. He has to uproot his life, move from L.A. to Houston. Big for him.
Do you think his wife was okay with the move? Like, she's got to find her. I don't know if he's married. Let's just assume he is. She's got to find a new job now.
I was going to look it up, and I was like, there's no way that information's easily available on the internet.
Why would she be working, B-Mac?
Because he's Ben Skowronek. He's not making millions.
Yeah, he just got traded for...
He's making the veteran...
He's making enough, she didn't have to work.
Round pick swap.
I don't know, man. Depends on the lifestyle they're leaving, Johnny. I don't know. Right. Does she shop at Target or does she shop at Walmart? I don't know. These are the questions we don't have answers to.
Well, things are cheaper down here.
Yeah.
That's true.
Not a Target, man.
Cost of living's a little bit easier.
What she's making at her job, wherever she's at, they're going to save that in taxes anyway, so come on.
Hopefully she's in the energy field or...
Anyway, all right, so Ben Skowronek, they trade for him. I think this is ultimately just someone to come in, and I think I like the move just because, look, I mean, when you look at the end of the depth chart for the Texans at wide receiver and see names like, you know Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson or Robert Woods, I'm fine with them giving some competition to that. And Ben Skowronek did have one decent season 2 years ago where he was involved in the Sean McVay offense before last year not being involved at all. The one thing I'm not okay with is, like, right after this trade happened, and I've heard it on this station, I've heard it in others, I've seen this talk on Twitter and elsewhere, this idea that Ben Skowronek is going to come in and be some version of a fullback or a blocking tight end. I'm not sure what idea they have about Ben Skowronek. I'm not saying he can't block at all if Bobby Slowick draws up a creative play in a way to get him involved, but he's 30 pounds lighter than Andrew Beck. He's not going to be your fullback. The idea that this wide receiver is going to just turn into your fullback seems absurd to me.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, it's a completely different switch. Like, I get running back wide or running back fullback swap or tight end wide receiver swap, but a guy that's been nothing but a wide receiver, and then you're trying to talk about putting him at a fullback position, where, like you just mentioned, he's 30 pounds lighter than your fullback right now. Like, I do not understand that. Just keep him at wide receiver. Just keep him there.
Yeah, I mean, he is a guy whose biggest season in the NFL was 373 receiving yards in 2022.
Big time.
So I get why he's not exactly penciled in to be a wide receiver.
That's more than Xavier Hutchinson.
When he gets traded and the first reaction I see about him is like, Ben Skoranek, here's what you need to know about him. And then I think like one of the first bullet points was excellent downfield blocker. I was like, all right, I know what time it is.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, a little bit later, it's, oh, maybe he could be a fullback. Okay. Instead of Tank Dell blocking at the goal line, we can have Ben Skoranek blocking
at
the goal line.
All right.
That's not half bad right there.
That's not a bad idea, Sean.
Just in terms of bodily harm being caused to Tank Dell. We don't know if Damian Pierce scores because Ben Skoranek opened up a hole at the goal line.
Opening up holes by breaking his leg. Yeah. If that keeps Tank Dell from getting his leg broken, blocking between the tackles, then I'm all for Ben Skoranek.
The most receiving yards Ben Skoranek had in college was his sophomore year. It was 644 at Northwestern.
Yeah, as a wide receiver, he's a good blocker. Yeah. He's kind of like bad Kevin Walter. I don't know what I want to put on Ben Skoranek. Look, ultimately, I mean, I opened this by saying doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I think the best case scenario is he's like your fifth or sixth wide receiver, and he's taking the spot of Xavier Hutchinson on the team. He was a sixth round pick himself.
His senior year in high school at Indiana.
You found high school stats?
Yeah. He had 805 receiving.
He couldn't even break 1,000 in high school.
He was named first team all Indiana.
Indiana football not doing well, huh? First team all state was under 1,000. Were they
809 touchdowns?
Were they running 3 yards in a cloud of dust when he was still in high school?
They must have been.
Oh my god, we got Dust Bowl football there in Indiana. I don't know what the hell's going on. Who's coaching that team? Ron Swanson? Is they got the pyramid of toughness or whatever it is that he used to coach basketball? Ben Skoranek doesn't ultimately matter. I mean, I like the idea of taking a shot. I mean, him being in the Sean McVay offense, you know, similar things to what Bobby Slowick and the 49ers offense did. So I think there's some crossover there. So he should be able to pick up the system quickly, and maybe he's a gadget player that can run some sweeps, get involved. If you have him in a four down or four wide receiver set, maybe you trick the defense by putting an extra DB out there, and then he's out there blocking. So I don't know. Maybe there could be something there, but ultimately it probably doesn't end up mattering. So a few more Texans things I want to get to. Actually, touchdown showboats, Sean. So here we go.
Need that.
Extra point pending. If I don't know if they'll go for two or three.
They don't have extra
points. Well, that's why.
Okay.
I was trying to explain. I know they can go for two or three. There is an option. Did they get rid of the option to go for one? Because the original,
I think they can go for
the XFL a few years ago, they had three options. You could go for one, two, or three. Now, you weren't kicking it, but you could go for one, two, or three.
Yeah, it was just what yard line you could get.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me check the analytics. Maybe you want to go for three here.
Yeah, what are the ESPN analytics say? Does it say go for it? Okay, they are lined up. They're lined up for the 5 yards. There are three options.
Okay,
yeah,
they're going
one,
for two.
Two, and three. They're
it's
going
very
for
similar to the official rules of flag football.
They're going for two from the 5 yard line. Drops back to the pass. He's looking. Oh, and he's sacked and taken down.
Self-sacked.
Oh, Arlington. He got tripped up by his own offensive lineman there, unfortunately. So Williams from Memphis gets the sack.
I don't think we're allowed to do live play-by-play. By the way,
I didn't.
At least
do,
I know that.
I didn't do live. Play-by-play.
At least I know that's the rule.
I don't think they're coming after you, B-Man.
I think I'm fine.
I know that's the rule for NFL.
What I did was not good enough to be qualified as play-by-play, so I think I'm fine.
Technically, there is a delay, so it's not technically.
And at least it's the same company. I'm not doing play-by-play of something on Fox.
Okay.
So anyway, this segment's completely gone off the rails.
Ben Skoranek was the headline of the segment for those of you who
for those keeping track, it's
yeah.
Track.
For why is the segment seem super sloppy and like they're not taking this seriously? It's because. Because the lead bullet point,
Memphis Showboats.
The lead bullet point was: does the Ben Skoranek trade mean anything to you at all?
Yeah, It doesn't. No, it doesn't. Like, I'm trying to put some juice on it. Like, I don't know.
I do like that they're making a move the second week of May, because it gives us something to talk about.
Sort of.
Think about the NFL topics we've had today. It's, can J.J. Watt make a comeback, and does Ben Skowronek mean anything to you at all? We're scraping the bottom. Imagine if there wasn't a Ben Skowronek trade. What would we possibly
So the McNairs were like, hey, we need something to talk about to keep this hot streak going.
Let's talk about how the rookies looked at their rookie camp this week.
Well, next bullet point, which rookies could become starters this year, Sean Mapes?
Caden Bullock.
All right, Cam. Cam Smith, which rookies could become starters this year?
Yeah, definitely Bullock. And also, I think Lassiter, to be honest. I mean, you took him technically with your first overall pick. So
wrong. No, that was not the answer. Moving on. Okay. Oh, I don't know. I'm just playing. I'm playing into the bit. Yeah, no, I mean.
Blake Fisher? You big Marcus Harris guy in the sixth round?
I mean, no. No, not really. I mean, I'm not really a guy for any sixth round pick. All right, let's get out.
Think about how much we were talking about last year's rookies. And last year's rookie minicamp, we probably did two full segments on what CJ Stroud and Will Anderson were talking about. Hey, it's hot in Houston, but they say it gets hotter. That's something that Blake Fisher actually said.
Do we have rookies talking about humidity?
I don't know if they're talking
about. Johnny, can you get us rookies talking about humidity sound?
Dew point?
Yeah, can we
is it really worth it?
No, not at all.
Okay,
you have one job the rest of the show. Find me a rookie talking about humidity.
Every time I try to say Blake Fisher's name, I try not to say Eric Fisher, a different right tackle.
Well, yeah, Chiefs. Yeah, Chiefs. Wasn't he like the first overall pick or the second overall pick?
So that's what Blake Fisher needs to overcome, me accidentally calling him Eric Fisher.
That's the second most important thing for the segment. The most important thing is the live line now for Memphis versus Arlington is up to 58.5, Sean. So you got a great number at 45.5. I mean, it is really being bet up.
You can use all that money to treat your mother.
That's why I'm not allowed to go back to LaBerge. I'm a sharp.
Dude, can we bet you? Oh, Cam, we got to bet UFL lines when we're there next week.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Anyway, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get out of this segment. Let's get to, if this segment already wasn't the leftover topics, somehow this wasn't the leftover topics. I was talking about, does Ben Skowronek matter
in
UFL lines?
Please, Astros become good again. Become good again, please.
Sean, can you imagine, what are we going to do in July if the Astros are bad?
Not do a show.
Yeah, probably. I'm just going to be.
Talk Dynamo.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 coming into the segment with a little bit of a down note. Sean found some disturbing facts about Homestead High School in Indiana. Would you say, Sean, not progressive?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, not very progressive.
I mean, at least it was a controversy.
I hope so.
They didn't laugh it off, although, is what I'm saying.
I would say I'm not surprised that a high school whose leading receiver has under 1,000 yards is also not progressive in other areas.
We have a caller.
We have a caller. Yes, we do. Probably wants to talk about this UFL game. Hopefully he's got some thoughts on that. All right, we got Matt from League City. Matt, what you got going on? Thank you for calling us.
Man, I don't mean to change subjects on you, but I wanted to get you guys' opinion on the Saints picking up Spencer Rattler.
Matt, you don't have to apologize at all for changing subjects. We've been on 10 different subjects so far.
We were talking about Ben Skowronek. You're more than welcome to change the topic at any time.
You arguably helped our show get back on the rails. I think Spencer Rattler is an interesting pick in, what was it, like the fifth round?
Yeah, I was going to ask you what round it was. I don't remember.
Because it's a spot where not only is Derek Carr not exactly lighting up the world at quarterback for the Saints, but he's also a guy who misses time. He missed time last year. He actually honestly gutted through injuries where he probably should have sat because he wasn't playing well through those injuries. But there is to me, this is a path to playing time that most fifth round quarterbacks don't get, because Spencer Rattler, I mean, apparently a big reason why he fell was because of the documentary about his high school team, and apparently his high school teammates didn't like him. And now fast forward 5-6 years later, that's why he fell to the fifth round, when he's been a talented quarterback basically his entire college career.
I mean, at one time he was someone that people were talking about being the number one pick in the draft, I believe, when he was coming. Yeah. Like, he was that high of a prospect going into college, playing at OU. Obviously, his college career didn't turn out the promise that would indicate, and that ends up transferring to South Carolina. But look, as the fifth round pick, Derek Carr is what, mid at best. I mean, yeah, that's kind of where he is at this point.
He's a guy I mean, the contract's one thing, but as far as play on the field, he's not a guy who can't get replaced.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm going with this. I think I don't expect Spencer Rattler to work out, but if your quarterback's Derek Carr and you don't really have any other options behind him on the team already, I mean, they were trying to force in Taysom Hill still at times. They hadn't given up on that idea. Then, yeah, why not? Like, Spencer Rattler in the fifth round, see if some of the promise he showed going into college is still there. Maybe NFL coaches and different eyes can look at the film and get some of that potential out of him. I don't think it's going to work, but I think it's a worthwhile throw at the dartboard.
I think he actually has a high chance of not taking over completely for Derek Carr, but...
What, this year?
At least getting on the field.
I think as far as backups in the NFL, he has a good chance of replacing the starting quarterback. I'm not saying long-term, but every single year for the last 4 years with Derek Carr, there's always talk of, oh, who's he about to get benched for? Who's he about to get benched for? It happened in the Raiders. He actually got benched, and then he came over to the Saints. But every year we have that same conversation of, when is Derek Carr going to get benched? And now that he's with the Saints, I think Spencer Rattler has the best possibility to take over that position, because it's not going to be Hill, and it's definitely not going to be Jake Hauner. So,
wait, who?
Jake Hauner.
Sorry. Yeah. I've never
even heard of that guy.
He was a rookie last year from Fresno State, got suspended for steroids.
Nice.
That's my bullet point on Jake Hauner.
I mean, you could have told me that was a UFL quarterback playing for the Memphis Showboats, who trailed 9-22 against Arlington.
Maybe after Spencer Rattler takes his job.
Maybe Spencer Rattler will be in the UFL. All right, so leftover segment here are things that really wouldn't make up a full segment, although today, arguably, they should have. But one of the things we got to talk about today, Sean, and Cam, we spent last week a little bit talking about the Drake-Kendrick beef. And this has gone to the point now. We haven't had a song out this week, right? I didn't miss anything? I didn't think so. So we haven't had a song out this week. But what we do have, and this is via Bet Online from Jimmy Shapiro, who sends out emails with these sort of lines all the time. But there are now Vegas odds from Bet Online where you can bet on who would win a hypothetical either WWE wrestling match or a boxing match between Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Right now, Drake is actually the favorite in both. In the WWE wrestling match, Drake is a -200 favorite. Boxing match, Drake is a minus. Well, actually, it's even, so they're both at -120. Fair, foul. Where are you? If it's like, I don't know if match type makes a difference to you, Sean. I don't know if it's a ladder match or if it's Hell in a Cell, if it's steel cage, if it's a four corners match. Like, I don't know what match you would give.
If it's bloodline rules, I like Kendrick a lot.
Okay, so you think he's got more people that are running on his side?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you can that's pretty evident that he has more people on.
Yeah, Drake doesn't really have anyone on his side at this point.
At least in the industry.
Yeah, no, on his side. Definitely in the industry.
I have a question more about where can I bet on this, and what happened? Like, do they just take my money?
Well, it's from Bet Online, so I guess you would have to bet with Bet Online.
But then what? If there's not a boxing match, then what?
It's more of a question about. Yeah. there's no match to bet on right
you
now.
Put
right.
Lines out. So I don't know what I'm betting on.
Yeah, I guess you get. I guess you're right. I guess you can't actually place a wager on it right this moment. This is hypothetically if the fight were to be announced.
Will they honor it? If it gets
this, you're like an old man who's holding up a competitor's coupon. At the buffet restaurant, says honor this $6.99 all you can eat.
There's no expiration date on it.
I had Drake at minus 120, sir.
Yeah, there's no expiration date on it. So what? I got it from like a 1980s Sears and Roebuck. who cares? I was just wondering about it because this could be a thing in like influencer boxing. If like 3 years ago there was a hypothetical Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, if Bet Online and Jimmy Shapiro put out lines for that and you bet on it, and then 3 years later it actually happens, like am I still in play or do I have to like what happens?
I hope you hang on to this email and keep it.
Print
it out, like have hard copy
and
of
just,
it
and just circle Kendrick Lamar plus 150. Yeah, I mean, yes. I can't say no to a plus, you know, the plus
did they,
sign.
Did they factor in the weight classes in this? Because
I don't know what
as far as
weigh.
Wrestling, I might have to go with Drake because he's listed at 6 feet, 200 pounds, and Kendrick is
listed
only
like
5'9 or 5'8, something like that. So I think wrestling, Drake.
Wait, Kendrick's Jose Altuve size?
Yes.
Is he about 5'6, 5'7?
He's 5'5 is his listed height on Google.
Wrestling, I think Drake can take him because of the size difference, but I think that Kendrick probably makes up for it in speed with boxing and can get a couple jabs in.
I don't know, man. If he's got half a foot on him, I would take Drake in a boxing match, too.
Yeah, half a foot's tough. What does work in Kendrick Lamar's favor is that he seems like he is angrier, and a lot of times, this is more just in real life, not so much in like sanctioned boxing bouts like this would be. A lot of times, just whoever's more angry wins. Like whoever wants to fight more will win a fight between two people that aren't trained.
He needs to unleash the short man syndrome.
He really does. He really does.
We saw Nate Robinson put up a good match when he fought.
Define good match.
I was going to say.
I don't know.
There's still a truck.
Good
a
effort.
Truck
good effort is what I meant. Good effort.
I don't know, man. We all lost from that. I don't know if there was a good effort in that. But I think I don't know. I want to take Drake because of the size difference, but also, but like to Sean's point, like I don't know. I think Drake. Is it fair to say I have an expectation that maybe the guy from Degrassi High is a little soft? Like I think Kendrick's
that's right.
I think Kendrick's going to want it more, right?
Canada, that's right. What you're saying is Canada versus Compton. You're taking
yes,
Compton.
I'm taking Compton.
Okay, 1,000%.
Is that unfair?
No.
Okay,
that is very reasonable.
That's a good code to live.
It's a great point.
Yeah. All right. So we all taking Kendrick then in a fight.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well.
I'll go.
All right. So let's get some of this other audio here, Johnny. Some of the crazier things that have happened in sports this week. Some of the things that are a little bit head shaking. Ant got asked a ridiculous question by a reporter in Minnesota. Anthony Edwards asked who people he looked up to, because I think he had said he looked up to Kevin Durant. Who that makes sense. There's an age gap there. I don't know exactly how large age gap is. Probably got to be at least 10 years. But the reporter tried to ask up and maybe relate it to this series against the Denver Nuggets, and it didn't go well for him.
Hey, you talked in that Phoenix series a lot about the way you saw Kevin and how that motivated you. And at your age, it's got to be fun to see all these OGs right in front of you. Is there anything like that in this series? Like, what's your...
Nah, these guys, 3-4 years older than me, man, yeah.
I mean, Jamal's been around for a minute. Is that a guy that you've been tracking at all?
Nah, hell nah. Like I said, what is he, 27? I'm finna turn 23, dog. Yeah, KD 36, 35. Yeah, come on, man. There's no disrespect to Jamal. I don't know what you're trying to start, but yeah, he's no, not at all.
I love the way Anthony Edwards said it.
Hell no.
We need to save that as a drop. Yeah, I don't know where the guy thought he was going with it. I guess he was trying to find an angle where he was trying. You know what? He had an idea in his mind for a newspaper. For an article where he was like Anthony Edwards inspired by play of Jamal Murray,
or just like he already took out one OG, now he's trying to take out another OG.
He's got a story in mind for this, and he's trying to write the story through the quote that he gets. And Anthony Edwards wasn't having any of it.
He's trying to create new young blood rivalry.
Yeah, and the key part of it is that Anthony Edwards does not view Jamal Murray as an OG.
You can't be an OG to someone who's 4 years younger than you. You can't do.
I don't think I.
No, OG is like a decade. It has to be at least a decade.
It's got
to
be a generation, right?
B-Mac, you're the OG. Sean, do you look up to B-Mac?
Oh my god!
Hell no.
Ah, there you go.
But you do respect him, right? But you're not.
No,
John, you're trying to start something?
Absolutely.
I respect him, you know, but hell no.
Sadly, we are probably a generation apart. All right, moving I think
it's about the same age difference between Ant and KD, right?
How 20, far are they apart?
23 to 35?
Yeah, and I think it's actually 28 the exact to 40. Same. Exact
are you 23?
No, I'm 28.
He's 28,
but he's 40, not 35.
Oh,
yeah,
there
you go. Yeah. No, I remember 35. It's pretty cool. Back hurt less then. Anyways, Caitlin Clark getting asked more creepy questions. This time, a reporter, for some reason, decided to ask Caitlin Clark, I guess right before one of her preseason games, hey, is Bae going to be at this game?
Will Bae be here?
Who?
Is Bae going to be here?
No, he's working. Yeah. I'm flying solo. Wow. I better get used to it, man. This is my job.
Just, I don't know what it is about Caitlin Clark that attracts these creepy-ass questions. We had Greg Doyle, I guess about a month ago, doing the heart hands thing. He was totally smitten with her. Now we got even female reporters. Hey, is Bae going to be here? Who gives? I don't understand the thinking of these reporters. Like I can't imagine. Like we just heard from Anthony Edwards. Can you imagine a reporter going up to Anthony Edwards like, hey, is Bae going to be here? Hell no.
A, hell no. B, in the NBA, if you ask an NBA player, that becomes a way more loaded question.
That's true. Like you could ask Jalen Green that question. Yeah. Like which one?
Yeah, exactly. The answer might be which one.
Caitlin, you never know. I mean, she's big, too. She might have more than one.
She might have. Yeah. She might be mad at this reporter for blowing up her spot.
That's there you when go. You know the WNBA has, like, made it as a league, is when they have they answer questions to which one.
we start talking about the body count.
Yeah, when they have groupies, that's when you know. When they're flying dudes out.
That's when equality has finally reached its maximum level and everything is on par for the WNBA. All right, let's do one more. We're going to skip ahead here, Johnny. Skip past Cowherd. That would take too long. Stephen A. falls for another parody Twitter account. This has happened multiple times before, and a parody Twitter account got him once again.
And by the way, it was more than perfectly within his right to tweet out the other day, highlighting him, Gallinaro, and six first-round picks were what were given up for the Clippers to acquire Paul George. Most of us might bring that up, but him as a player, bringing that up, he had every right to do it. So let's get that out the way.
So Stephen A. Smith right there is referencing a tweet by NBA Central, C-E-N-T-E-L, a parody account. It wouldn't take much effort to figure out it was a parody account. Referencing a tweet by them where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander apparently was, in this scenario, dunking on the trade that sent him to OKC and just the draft capital, like, oh, I can't believe they would send me away for what they got back. I don't know what was worse, the falling for the fake Twitter account, or because especially since he's done it before, this is not the first time for Stephen A. But I don't know if you saw like him trying to walk it back. He apparently tried to make the excuse of, oh yeah, I the producers told me it was fake. I just forgot. Like I don't know what part of that is the worst, but I live for parody accounts getting Stephen A. Smith on the regular.
That did not happen. He did not think it was a fake.
No,
because he's done it before. Like I don't know.
Yeah, he 100% got, and yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't know what his walk back is supposed to be though. If he's gonna keep in character.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like,
because he can't just go, made a mistake. Sorry. Like, because he's Stephen A. Smith. He has to go.
Right.
Like, I said what I said. That's what
it doesn't matter who tweeted out the information. Yeah. The point and opinion stays the same.
Wait, who tweeted it out? It doesn't matter who tweeted it out, BMAC.
Damn right, Sean. Well done, Sports Entertainment, Sean. All right, we got to get out. On the other side of the break is our Mount Rushmore Plus One, the groundbreaking, award-winning segment, much better than our Ben Skoranek segment. That will be back when the bullpen returns in 3 minutes. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. some men discovered new worlds.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
It is that time, Houston. The best part of your weekend is here. It is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One on the bullpen. Hopefully we can get to all four of them here. Last week we only got to three. We will effort to go to get to all four. Should we let Johnny lead off since he didn't get to get his in last week?
Seems fair.
John's probably going to push back against that. I don't know if he wants to go first.
I'll do it.
All right, Johnny Bellmer, I think yours was in relation to something we were talking about earlier. What is your Mount Rushmore Plus One this week?
Yeah, so I've seen one, I can't remember which one, but one of your pro wrestler guys recommending that...
one of our pro wrestlers.
That's
WWE
just how
WWE superstar.
Yeah, that's just how I reference.
Talking about Booker T?
No, it wasn't. It was somebody else. But they said they should settle their beef, Kendrick and Drake in the ring.
Okay.
In the WWE ring.
Oh, Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
Shawn Michaels. Yes, that's the guy's name.
HBK, baby.
Is that what it is?
Heartbreak Kid.
Anyways, I did my Mount Rushmore. What'd you say?
He's trying to throw you off.
Stop interrupting.
Yeah, go on.
I did mine inspired by that. I did my top five sports beefs that I would like to see settled in the octagon or in the
square circle.
Is that what it's called? For the WWE, whatever you call it, WWE ring, whatever they fight in. I don't know. The ring.
Talks down to wrestling all the time. All right.
The best part is that he's not doing it on purpose.
I know.
He actually doesn't know.
And he's just being disrespectful in the most earnest way.
It's all right. I'm with you, man.
But it's fun to mess with BMAC. Thank you, Cam. It's nice to have somebody on my side here. Number five.
Microphone again.
I went with Jose Ramirez and Tim Anderson.
Ooh, okay.
From last year.
You know what that's going to end?
Yes.
A knockout for Jose Ramirez.
Yes.
TKO1.
I know who absolutely. I like in that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then number four, a little bit of a throwback. Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas. You keep me off the Dream Team, we're going to have to go at it. Number three actually is three people. I broke my rule a little bit here. It's a versus.
Oh,
it's
a triple threat match.
There you go.
I like it. Okay.
I'm glad you threw that out there. Michael Crabtree versus Aqib Talib versus Richard Sherman.
Oh.
I couldn't decide which one of those I wanted to do. The chain snatch or the yelling interview after the game.
I like
both
Talib
of them.
In that one.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Aqib Talib's got that dog in him. I think he goes over in that match.
I think so too.
Is it no holds barred?
Yes.
Yeah,
whatever that means.
There's no disqualifications in triple threat match.
Ladder match, grudge match.
Aqib Talib also has no holds barred.
I don't care. Light the ring on fire and let him fight inside the
ring. That actually is a match type. It's called Inferno, but go ahead.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, that's a real match.
Oh, my God.
That's happened.
You cannot make up a fake one that has not been
They literally put Viagra on a pole, Johnny, so that you cannot make up one.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
You just go on with your list.
Quickly, number two, I did a local matchup here. Andre Johnson, Courtland Finnegan.
Oh, nice.
And then number one, the iconic Kobe versus Shaq. Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Rest in peace, Kobe.
You can't
say, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes.
And then immediately follow
up. Kobe.
Kobe, can't do without me. I remember that rap. That was
He did
he do that like at a nightclub?
I think it was on stage.
Yeah.
Very much did.
Yes. Oh my God.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
I don't know how we follow that one.
Tell me how my answer.
Well, obviously main event Sean goes last. You know what? I'll go next. I'll go ahead and go next here. So my list, unlike Sean, I respect Mother's Day. So my list is it may be a tribute to Mother's Day. This is a list of things that were a mother for Houston sports teams. Things that had you cursing at the TV, dropping the mother effer.
I thought you said mother.
I did. Yeah. Okay. Things that had you saying mother effer at the TV when they happened in Houston sports. Okay. My Mount Rushmore Plus One. Number one, Chris Paul tearing his hamstring. That might game five against the Warriors.
That might literally have been a quote from my living room.
Yeah, it was definitely a quote from my living room. When he goes down in the Heat, you're up 3-2. You just need one more. And we didn't even get to the 27 missed threes in a row. Like, if Chris Paul's there, you go into the finals. I think you win the finals against that version of the Cavaliers. But yeah, I definitely dropped a mother effer in my living room when Chris Paul tore his hamstring. Number two, the 2021 World Series, where AJ Hinch pulls Zach Greinke and doesn't go to Gerrit Cole. Like, there was two scenarios AJ Hinch could have done there. He could have left Greinke in, who had just given up one hit. It wasn't like he was getting rocked and hit hard. He wasn't taking deep. Or, okay, you take him out, put in Gerrit Cole. What you can do is then put in, Will Harris?
Will Harris,
that's just an awful decision. There was definitely a mother effort dropped in that situation. Number three of my things that were a mother in Houston sports, the Texans collapse at Kansas City in 2019. They were up, 24-0?
Yep.
And they end up losing, 50-27.
That almost happened, too fast to be, a mother. And, that's why it's, not one of the worst losses to me, because they were down at halftime.
I was watching it with a buddy who, even at 24-0 was they're going to lose this. So I was like, what are you talking? It's 24-0. So I had to, tell him, okay, you were right. I was wrong. You're smart. I'm an idiot. So maybe it was more from that aspect of me having to keep crow. All right, number four, going back to the Astros, 2015, game four against the eventual World Series champion Kansas City Royals. You're up four runs in the seventh inning. The freaking governor is tweeting out, congratulations, Astros, on advancing to the ALCS. And then a reliever comes in, blows the game. The Royals win game four to tie the series, go back to Kansas City, win the series against the Astros, and then go on to win the World Series. The Astros won slip away. A series they should have won against the eventual World Series champions, blew it. And you have Governor Abbott jinxing you in the midst of the collapse there. Just absolutely brutal.
That was the insult to injury.
Yeah, definitely the insult to injury.
Was that also Will Harris?
I believe it was. Yeah.
Bad list for Will Harris.
Yeah, bad list.
I was there live because I was working for the Astros at that time, and I witnessed that in person at the stadium.
Ugh, just the absolute worst. I almost put one thing I was at, but I went ahead and moved it off for something that I think Sean and I will both agree on. There's lots of mother effers dropped when Colt McCoy, sprint option left, gets hurt, messes up his shoulder, and then Garrett Gilbert has to come in and finish the rest of the national championship game in January of 2010.
Was I old enough to say mother effer?
You were, 13?
No, yeah.
You were definitely old enough to say mother effer.
You go be an ageist again.
I was waiting for one that happened when I was young enough to be I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, no. I purposely tried to make sure that
they're all the 2010s.
It was all the last 15 years. So you couldn't pull the ageist on me. I wanted to. The one that I was at was, I don't remember what year this was. I think it was 2006. But when the Rockets lost Game 7 at home against the Jazz, there's T-Mac and Yao years. But I purposely left that off the list because I thought, I was like, man, I barely remember that. I was like 10. So I didn't put it on the list.
I definitely didn't say MF or in the 10th in that game.
I don't know. I can see you say MF for at 10 years old.
Wow. That's an attack on my character.
I mean, as a fifth grader. From someone who doesn't respect their mom and is, I don't know, man. Maybe I can't say. I can't say it's impossible. Cam, you're Mount Rushmore plus one.
All right. Mine ties into the fact that I'm getting a few more tattoos in a couple weeks. So
More? How many you got, man?
40.
Okay.
So as a show, we have
we have 40 tattoos.
I got two.
Okay, we have 42. We have 42.
42
tattoos.
And counting.
So I decided to go with my Mount Rushmore of tattoos that I personally would never get and despise. So
I love this list.
The first
I think
one,
I can guess at least two of them.
The first one is a significant other's name.
Good.
That wasn't thinking of that one, but yes, that's the third one.
Don't,
yes.
I always think about, I always judge people's tattoos, and then in the back of my head, I'm like, well, I don't have any, so I don't want to, throw stones or whatever. Yeah. And so I'm very glad that you're throwing the stones for me.
I'll do it.
If you get, Kylie on your shoulder, you're just asking for
1,000%.
Yeah.
The next one is the kissy lip tattoos. The ones on the neck.
Yeah.
I cannot... I can't do it, man. I cannot stand those. I cannot stand those.
Kenyon Martin has one.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yes.
Kenyon Martin actually might have two.
I was also thinking Birdman. Well, Birdman had his entire body tattooed.
The third one is the barbed wire around the bicep.
That was one I thought of. Yep.
I love T-Mac, but
That's 2001.
Yeah. Good thing my arms are like covered and I can't try and get that. The next one is that nautical star.
I don't know that one.
It's the star, and it's usually like each little portion of the triangle area is like a different color, and a lot of people put them like on the elbow.
Like this.
Yeah, very like.
Oh, okay. I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
I can't do it. And then the last one is, and it's not tribal in general. It's just the random tribal tattoo that takes up like part of the bicep, and it's just like, what is that sitting there?
I find that disrespectful to our tribal chief. The billion-dollar draw, Roman Reigns.
If you're part of a tribe, go for it. But if you're just like...
If
you're just a random person that has no ties to a tribe or anything like that...
You're saying white guy can't do it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
What about when somebody does, like, Chinese letters and they have no idea what it means?
That was the other one I was thinking.
That I was also thinking about, like, is, like, the little three Chinese characters. It's just, like, again, if it means something actual to
many times you find out people got it thinking it meant one thing, and then they meet a person who actually speaks the language. It's like, no, it means something completely
it's totally
different.
Wrong.
Also, Kenyon Martin Sr. has Chinese letter tattoos. I'm not even joking.
I think most of this list would probably apply to Kenyon Martin Sr.
You better hope you never bump into him.
You know.
Hey, I heard the bullpen. All right.
Why are you guys talking bleep about Ben Skoranek, man? That's what he would bring up.
My Mount Rushmore plus one, in honor of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
It's a wordy title.
It is a wordy title. They're all wordy titles. My Mount Rushmore plus one of scariest planet of these to find yourself in the middle of as a human.
I love it. Okay, I like it.
Reason for the season, Planet of the Apes. Terrifying. Yeah. I mean, they've made 10 movies about how terrifying.
Caesar's a bad dude. I wouldn't want to mess with Caesar.
Yes. Planet of the Bears.
Ooh.
Deal me out.
No.
No thanks.
Yeah, no. I'm not fighting a grizzly.
I don't want to have to be in shackles facing the Congress of Kodiak Bears. No thanks. Koalas would be fun, yes.
Pandas that sounds
as
like
well.
An adorable world. Grizzlies not as much.
Planet of the cockroaches.
Ugh.
Imagine not just cockroaches, but also cockroaches that now have government, that now have superior weaponry.
That are now organized?
That are organized and hate humans.
They can talk.
So the ones that are on Fallout that are like
12 feet long? The rat roaches.
Yeah,
They're the size of a large cat. Yeah. Yes.
Related, Planet of the Rats.
Oh, yeah.
That one seems realistic, too. Roaches and rats seem
I would hate to live on a planet with Mike
Fire. They're especially scary
because
it's like, I can kind of see that happening. And lastly, and the most terrifying, you wake up. You and your crew go on a space voyage. There's something that goes wrong. You crash land on a planet, and it's Planet of the Octopus.
You have something against octopuses?
Okay, like, I mean, I'm not living in the ocean. Why am I afraid?
Some calamari.
Yeah, why am I afraid of the
octopus? Can live on land. They can move around on land.
Well, just because you can move around land does not mean...
Well, if they take over the planet, they probably can take over the land.
Yeah, they're insanely intelligent.
I guess we're assuming some sort of mutation that makes them more able to live on land full time, but...
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm not scared of octopuses.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't find that terrifying.
Freaky to me.
They are freaky, but they're not, like, terrifying.
We're figuring out new phobias for Sean.
I also don't really like chimpanzees either. That's why I play in the apes.
It sounds very intolerant, Sean. It's not a good look.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, shoot the monkey. I'm rooting for the humans the entire time.
Oh, my.
Know my allegiance, America. I stand with you. Unless you're a monkey listening to this. I don't stand with you.
So you're not on man. You watch the first one. You see Caesar. You don't sympathize at all.
I'm with the neighbor. Put that monkey down.
So you're worse.
He bit his finger.
He did bite the finger off. You're right.
Did you poop your pants whenever they read Curious George to you?
Oh no, he's adorable. But also, bad idea for the man in the yellow hat.
Curious George bite your finger off?
Yeah,
man.
He can.
Hard
wait until he grows up.
That was just
Caesar was cute too when he was young.
That was just Predator George. Yeah. No longer curious. All right, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. We got to get out. We are way over. Last segment of the show coming up next. We will get into the worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week when ESPN Radio returns in a couple minutes, 92.5 and 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yes, I do need my mid-afternoon nap, Sean. You are correct. When I leave here, when I leave the ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 studios, it will be take my mid-afternoon nap. That or to finish watching this exciting game between Arlington and Memphis. Hot UFL action on Saturday. Can't miss it. All right, we finished the show right now in the 7 minutes we got left. With the, what we finish with every week, our worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. Sean, your worst person in sports this week is?
Rashee Rice.
Good nomination.
Body of work.
Yeah.
What a body of work.
We could put his body. We might be close to putting his jersey up in the rafters.
Yes.
It's been an eventful few weeks for Rashee Rice.
Him and Paul Pierce are up there. This most recent story, I mean, there's the incident with him pushing the cameraman. And then recently there is a story of when he was at SMU, he believed another SMU basketball player was seeing his girlfriend, and then Rice and his friends went to an SMU basketball game, and Rice, or someone with them, fired multiple bullets into Kendrick Davis's empty car.
Yeah, I think there's going to be an opportunity for Xavier Worthy in year one. Yeah, Rashee Rice. I don't know what ends up getting suspended, but even if it's light, he just has shown the track record that these types of things are going to keep on happening. Yeah,
doesn't seem great.
We still don't know what he's going to get suspended for the whole car incident.
Right, the car thing. Right. Yeah, exactly. It's just, man, things are looking up for Xavier Worthy is how I'm going to phrase it. All right, my worst person in sports this week. This has some audio we'll go through quickly. A guy I hadn't heard of before this, but Ethan Strauss was on a podcast talking about WNBA names with Bill Simmons. And I had an interesting take on the WNBA team names.
The one thing they should have done, and maybe there's still time to do, that they didn't do from the outset, is just use the same team names. Like, why force people to learn about the Fever? You know, why not just have the W Pacers? I think that makes it so much easier to just resonate and cut across.
Like how then college would be like the Lady Gamecocks. Yeah.
Just such.
I was thinking the same thing.
Just such a lazy
Bill, thing. Bill Simmons and I were on the same page. It's like, yeah, you're just saying put the Lady Bulldogs.
Like, yeah, but yeah, at least there it's like the same. It's the same company, so to speak. Yeah. Right. You're all volunteers, or you're all, you know, right.
It's the same school. Yeah.
Yeah. This is different leagues, different teams, different owners. Just a lazy ass take. Cam, what is your worst person in sports this week?
This person could probably be it every week, and it's actually a collective
Paul
group.
Pierce?
It is particular Astros fans that want to brag about all the money they spend and how much they love the Astros and all this sort of stuff and how they've been around for the team. And then the moment that they have a bad season, they start trash talking, oh, how are the Astros taking all my money? And then the Astros gone on a win streak. And they start tweeting stuff again about how much they love the Astros. And then the Astros lose again, and they're back to bashing them. I just can't do it anymore.
You want to name drop any of these people?
I mean,
put them on blast?
I don't. It's a bunch of people on Twitter. Okay. But it's just every week, it's just revolving. I hate them. I love them. I hate them. I love them. It's just like my guy.
It's also the 7 years of success get used up in a bad April.
Yeah,
we're
not even 2 months in.
We went through seasons of losing 100 games, have these seven
three
great
years in a row.
And then all of a sudden we have one bad season and everybody's acting like it's the apocalypse.
No,
like, calm
you.
Down.
I'm with you.
Man. Yeah, Johnny, you got something you love? Known? Okay, all right, let's get to, you know what? We're done with the Anger Sharks.
Oh.
Done with the Anger Sharks.
Planet of the
Anger Sharks would be terrifying AF. Yes, that would be... I would not want to live on Planet of the Anger Sharks, nor Dawn of the Anger Sharks, or Rise of the Anger Sharks, or I don't know. Well, all the movie titles.
I'll do Sharks Over Clowns.
Ooh, Rise of the Planet of the Clowns. Yeah, I'm out on that one.
Oh yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we got 2 minutes left. We got to get on. So the thing I love from sports this week, we have a cover for the new NCAA football game And we even got, I love what they did with the cover. Not only, I mean, obviously there's a Longhorn in there with Quinn Ewers, so that's automatically going to catch my attention. But I love that they showed like two things with this. One, they're all walking back into a stadium, very symbolic. Symbolic. Thank you, God. I am so tired. I am very tired right now. But also, like, obviously, the thing you had from the previous games was there couldn't be names. And the first thing you see when you pick up the cover is boom, a bunch of names on the cover. So I love this cover, and I am excited for July when the game finally gets here. Sean, what'd you love from sports?
Thing I love in sports this week, also in college football, former MLB player Monte Harrison has committed to play football at the University of Arkansas. He was a 4-star wide receiver recruit in the 2014 class. As a 0-star wide receiver recruit from the 2014 class, let me just say, it gives me hope.
Were you also for the 2014 recruiting class, Sean?
Yeah, I was the same recruiting class.
So there's still time for you, Sean.
Yeah.
You want to go play in the fall in Arkansas?
You know, if they got a spot.
You know. All right, Cam, what did you love from sports this week?
Not so much love. I think it's just kind of cool. Devin Funchess, I think he's the first former NFL player to sign a pro basketball deal. I forgot which league it's in, but he signed.
I believe it's the Caribbean.
Yeah, and it's kind of got a good story to it because I guess his granddad was basically who helped raise him. His granddad passed away, but his granddad, one of the things he always wanted Devin to do was try and play basketball. So he's kind of doing that in memory of his granddad. So pretty cool story.
Yeah, so take that, Austin Rivers. Football players can't play in the Caribbean Basketball Association. And Arlington is in the red zone, Sean. We're going to hit this over. That'll do it for the bullpen this week. We will be back next week live from Le Berge Casino in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Cam, myself, and Joe George will be out there next week from noon to 3. Until we talk to you next week, Houston, have a good one. We will be back next week.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.